Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches, and that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on Facebook at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now, Jim Andrews continues his study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. Today, we begin an exposition of the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Other than his Old Testament book, little is known about the prophet Habakkuk, who wrote in pre-exilic times, that is, times not long before the Babylonian conquest of Judea, in 597 B.C., and the total destruction of Jerusalem, the capital, in 586 B.C. The Babylonian conquest came in two distinct stages. It culminated in 586 B.C. in the slaughter of a great many of the Jewish people and the mass deportation of the surviving element to Babylon. Habakkuk was contemporary with Jeremiah, and like Jeremiah, with whom he was contemporary, Habakkuk most likely lived to see the awful decimation of his beloved Judah and Jerusalem that the Lord had earlier revealed to him. Habakkuk's prophecy in its literary form differs from most of the prophets, as someone has pointed out, in that it consists not of divinely inspired messages to be delivered to the people. His message is divinely inspired, but it wasn't to be given directly to the people, but it takes the form of a sort of confused dialogue between the prophet and the Lord about the abominable state of things in Judah and Jerusalem during his time. The structure of the book consists of two dialogues, capped in chapter 3 by what is described as a psalm of Habakkuk, both prayer and praise blended in this little psalm, with a final expression of confidence and trust in the character of God, even in the midst of the worst of times. The problem of the book, if we may put it in those terms, is that Habakkuk, the prophet, is perhaps like you, mystified by the Lord's patience with rampant evil and injustice raging in the land of Judah, kind of like a wildfire. It seems to Habakkuk, from where he stands, that the Lord's silence, the Lord's inaction, in the face of all of the outrages that Habakkuk sees, smacks of indifference on God's part. Yet Habakkuk knows in his faithful heart that God is indeed a just God. But what he knows by faith, he is having trouble reconciling by fact. Instead of abandoning his faith, he goes to the Lord and he seeks answers. He's mystified by God's tolerance of everything that Habakkuk knows good and well that God deplores. I mean, after all, in Deuteronomy 32:4, it is said of the Lord that he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are just. He is a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Leviticus 19:2 says, "You shall be holy, the people of God should be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy." Job chapter 15, verse 15 says, "The heavens are not clean in his sight, so pure is God." Psalm 145, 17, among so many other verses, says, "The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all of his works." Well, in light of the revelation that Habakkuk had in the scriptures in his day, he had what we sometimes have, a case of cognitive dissonance where there are square pegs and round holes. Certain things don't fit. And this is why this book is so appropriate for us and so germane to us in our times, because many of us may find ourselves in our individual life or looking at our national life or looking at the world scene. We may be feeling exactly as Habakkuk. We have not abandoned our faith, but sometimes God's ways do mystify us a bit, and we just wonder, why, Lord, why? Habakkuk was wondering why the Lord didn't step up and do something to check all of this rapaciousness and all the injustice that filled the land, starting at the top. They say fish rot from the top, and from the top down, Judah, Jerusalem, was rotten to the core. Now, as I say, his perplexity is nothing new. There are always times in every generation and culture when God's people feel impatient with evil, and we wonder why God just doesn't open fire, so to speak, on those who blatantly ignore his law, flaunt their wicked ways, and practice monstrous injustice, and just seem to skate by with impunity. Many believers look at what is going on in our own culture. We see brazen wickedness. We see massive injustice in many forms. We see the lawless plunder others with seeming impunity. And at worst, considering the magnitude of their crimes, when these people get caught with their hands in the cookie jar, we are sometimes stunned how lightly they get off. Even if they wind up going to jail, considering the immensity of their criminal activity, we're aghast in many cases how light their sentence was. I mean, it's kind of old news now, but those of us who live through it, and that's quite a lot of us at this point in time, we still cannot forget how O.J. Simpson brutally murdered two people and walked out a free man. I mean, the jury trial was an absolute farce, and you wonder how in the world that could happen. And it's certainly not the only case where it has happened. A lot of white men have murdered black people, and you've had basically a rigged judge and jury, as you have in the justice system with Ku Klux Klan and criminals like Al Capone and many more modern creeps. And hey, they've bought the jury, they bought the judge, they bought the police department, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. I remember growing up in my native state of West Virginia, and it didn't take me too long as a youngster to begin to realize how corrupt things were. Well, just think of all the corporate crooks of the 90s and the first almost decade of the 2000s. Wall Street swindlers, think of corrupt and morally perverse politicians of both parties who wantonly lie, cheat, and steal, and amazingly, some of whom still manage to keep their seats in legislative bodies. Think of mobsters and gangbangers who commit mayhem and murders and get away with it. Think of the drug dealers and the drug users. Think of rampant fornicators and adulterers. And that's just a short list of all the evils that pervade the land. And these people seem to get away with their sins and their lawlessness all the time. Not all the time, but way too much of the time. And we wonder, just like Habakkuk, Lord, look at all that is going on in this country. And will you just look the other way? We don't know the difference between diversity and perversity. We celebrate the latter in the name of the former. And sometimes it's so overwhelming, one just almost wants to wash their hands and give up. because there seems to be no way to roll back the tide of evil and injustice, greed, rapacity. Habakkuk's complaint is very modern in principle, and we can take comfort in principle to God's answer also. For the answer is that in his time, the Lord, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will answer the wicked, and he will in spades, so just be patient and wait. The second dialogue in Habakkuk emerges from the first. If God is not going to give the Jews and Judah a pass, as Habakkuk feared, in flaunting their lawlessness in the face of their God and on the backs of fellow Jews, is God really going to use as his punishing instruments a people who, if anything, are far worse outlaws than the Jews? The worst are being used to serve justice on the bad. And there you have one of those, is there something wrong with this picture questions that Habakkuk poses to the Lord. For that the Lord has an answer that satisfies the prophet and ought to satisfy us. In the end, all the wicked who trample upon the righteous and justice will be held accountable. Nobody, the Lord lets it be known, walks who persists in his evil ways. Everybody, except those who repent and turn to the Lord, except they walk by faith before God, everybody pays the piper for their transgression. So Habakkuk, through all of this book, trusted in the heart of God, as Spurgeon said, though he did not at the moment that he was dialoguing with the Lord. He did not understand the hand of God. So he did what all of us believers who are at times perplexed do. He sought understanding. So let's go now and look at the text, the oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? He just can't seem to get an answer. We've been there, haven't we? All of us. There is something, there's a real burden, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray. But this business of prayer is not always a 10-second thing. It's not always a 10-day thing, a 10-week. Sometimes it's a 10-year thing. The Lord has a way of keeping us at this business of prayer by withholding an immediate response. Habakkuk says, I cry out to thee, violence! And yet, thou dost not save. The stuff keeps happening. It just goes on and on and on. Now, he was talking about violence and wickedness and injustice and rapaciousness and all of that kind of thing in his own day. You may be thinking about the same stuff going on in our own country. Again, I say it may be at the national level, it may be at a local level, and it may be at a very personal level. And you've gone to the Lord and you seek justice. Lord, I've sought you and I've called upon you. How are you allowing people to keep doing this stuff? You've told us you're a holy God. You've told us, our Father, that the kind of thing that is going on, I think of Proverbs, those that create strife and divide brethren. Many pastors can relate to that. You've told us you abominate those people. And yet, Lord, I've cried to you and I've said, violence, strife-mongering, contentiousness, hatefulness. Lord, where are you? Why aren't you doing something? You can think of all kinds of things going on in your own life. Lord, they're suing me, Lord, you might say. And this is so unjust. And I've called upon you, and yet the case keeps moving forward. It's costing me money. I'm innocent, but it may break me up. You know the kind of thing that I'm talking about. We've all been there. Maybe not being sued, but we've all been in those kind of conditions where we just feel so helpless. And people are just doing wickedly. You want to say, Lord, call off the dogs. Why won't you do it? Why do you make me see iniquity, he says in verse 3. Why do you cause me to look on wickedness? And what he means is just to look on helplessly. Haven't we been there? Well, if you've lived very long and walked with the Lord, I'm sure you have. If it's something that hasn't happened in your life, I'm sure it's happened in the lives of loved ones. I see stories all the time of that nature, and I just say, Lord, how can you let this happen? Why does this poor person have to go through this? Why don't you just intervene and break up the pack and give these people some peace? He continues in verse 3. Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Just what I was talking about. You've said you hate it. You hate those who produce it. They're an abomination in your sight. They're dividing the nation. They're hurting the righteous. And Lord, the worst thing of all is they're bringing reproach upon your great name. Habakkuk doesn't say it, but he seems to say it implicitly. Lord, don't you realize that your holy name is at stake here? This is not about me. It's about your reputation, and I care about your glory. I care about your reputation in the eyes of men, and you say you're a holy God. You say you're a just God. You say these kinds of behaviors I hate. You say I will hold people accountable who do these things. Be sure your sin will find you out. But Lord, I don't see it happening. Ah, we've all been there, I think. I certainly have. So strife exists, contention arises, therefore the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. I think what he means there is this. Because people seem to get away with this stuff so regularly with impunity because you do not fire shots across their bow to wake them up and to back them off because, Lord, you don't step in with a holy fury and make them sorry for what they've done, well, they manage to rationalize it and just persist, and they get encouraged by your inaction. Now, all of that, Habakkuk, if he doesn't say explicitly, he's saying implicitly. He doesn't understand. He's not mad at God. He hasn't given up his faith. But it's honest to God. And that's okay, folks. He is a man, as we will see, who's very much holding on to his faith. But he's confused, he's perplexed, and he wants to understand. And what he cares deeply about is the glory and the honor of God, and he sees it being trashed. And he sees it being trashed because God's not doing something. It's like somebody may come to me in my capacity and say, Pastor, you know, I have all the confidence in the world in you, and I know you're this, and I know you're that, and I know you're something else, and you don't like this, and you don't like that. But, Pastor, since you're not doing this or that, people out there are getting the idea that X, Y, or Z. Well, I'm not going to be mad at that person who very deeply cares about my well-being, about my reputation. They believe in me, but they do not understand something. And it's all right for us to go to God and say, Lord, we trust you, we believe in you, as Habakkuk will do. But here's something we don't understand. It's very concerning. And it's your name that we don't want to see trashed. So therefore, the law is ignored by God's inaction. Justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous like a pack of dogs. He doesn't say like a pack of dogs, but that's what he means. They want a piece of the righteous. They're like sheep to be sheared. Some cruel man once said, if God didn't mean for sheep to be sheared, he wouldn't have made so many of them. And that's just exactly their attitude. Therefore, justice, verse 4, comes out perverted. Well, in verse 5 is the divine response. He says, Habakkuk, things are not exactly as they appear to be. I appreciate, the Lord seems to say, your concern for my glory. I appreciate your concern for justice and for holiness to prevail in the land, your concern for the righteous who are being pummeled and oppressed and persecuted, victimized by greed and avarice. Well, let me tell you something. Here's the deal, the Lord says in verse 5. And he has Habakkuk put on his prophetic spectacles. And he says, remember the first line, the oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw? Well, here's what he saw. Verse 5. The Lord says to him, look among the nations, Habakkuk. Observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. Remember, Habakkuk was one prophet like Jeremiah who lived through what he previously saw. I'm doing something in your days. I'm paraphrasing, folks, for clarity. Habakkuk, you would not believe it if you were told. In other words, he's saying it's just one of those things that's going to be incredible to you. Here's what's happening. Behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are an imperialistic, criminal nation. They are dreaded and feared. And Habakkuk knew that. Lawless. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. In other words, they are a people for whom might is right. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. In other words, their military apparatus, speaking in the terms of military weaponry and assets of that day, they are efficient and they are effective killing machines. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. They are fierce and they are fast, like a German blitzkrieg. All of them come for violence. It's not even so much about the money, though they'll reap money and treasures. But they're full of bloodlust, and they come for violence. They want to do violence. They are sociopathic in their military enterprise. They want to see people bleed. Their horde of faces moves forward. They are not few. They are many. They are a horde. They collect captives like sand. They're so powerful, but they're able to mock at rulers. And rulers are a laughing matter to them because they cannot stand before them. They think they're invincible. And as long as I am behind their enterprise for judgment, they are invincible. They laugh at every fortress and they heap up rubble in their siege tactics to capture it. And they do. And then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on to another target. But here's the point. They will be held guilty, accountable, they whose strength is their God. Power is their idol, and I will deal with them. Well, that's historical. It's still future to him, but not very far in the future. He will live through it. But he learns God is not asleep at the switch. God is everything he said he is. He is a just and holy God. And in this case, he's going to use a very evil instrument to do his judging work. And I can't help but think of our day. We have a country which is just progressively wicked, a country which is progressively godless, a country which is progressively blasphemous and hostile to everything about God and hostile to all of his people. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is true we're not under the old covenant. We're not under those same promises and under those same curses. But if we keep doing the same thing, we're under a God of the same character, and he's going to judge this country if we don't wake up, and I see very little sign that we will. Well, thank you, friends, for joining us on The Final Word. We'll pick up there in our next study. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. And our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program is ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.